Good afternoon. Glad to see everyone. We got a few new things. We got new songs, and most importantly, we have a new young one among us. Lord willing, we will see that young one in due time. I hope that we never tire of seeing this this picture, this slide that we hopefully have posted somewhere in our homes, that we can keep ourselves mindful of what our goal is for this year. And so over this lesson is along the lines of this yearly thing, of pressing on toward the goal, because I hope that each one of us are pressing on toward that upward goal of the prize of the call of God that has for us in Christ Jesus. And this lesson that I'm going to be providing today is a new lesson of one I've not done before, so I'm glad that I had the opportunity. And it falls under the category of typological. And what that means, in essence, we're going to hopefully understand more connecting between the Old and New Testament, looking at what are types and anti-types. And what I mean by that is when you look at what may have occurred, maybe an event, a person, and a thing that was a shadow or a type, and then you see the fulfillment in the New Testament, and we'll see that as what is called the anti-type. And we have many number of examples. You can think of all the prophets, priests, and kings that were mentioned. These are just a couple examples because there are numerous in the scripture. You can think of Moses, Melchizedek, David, and then you could see them and how they were types of Christ, and Christ being the anti-type. Another one example could be the land of Canaan as a type, and then you can think of heaven as being the anti-type. One other one that you may consider is in what we just witnessed and focus in on, the Lord's Supper would be the anti-type of the type of what was the Passover feast. Again, those are just a few examples. So as we look further into this lesson, I hope that this will be for your edification. I do like this example that this one preacher gave. Type is from the Greek verbs tupto and tuptein, which means to beat or strike. The noun derivative is tupos, which means a blow, an impress, a print, or mark. An analogy, a typewriter, key or an imprint, or rubber stamp, an impression. The imprint or impression are the types, and the key or stamp are the antitype or antitupos. I hope that our Greek scholar, who is presently not available here, can let me know if I pronounced each one of those words correctly. That which matches or corresponds to the type. So I believe it goes along, as I mentioned, with our pressing toward the goal, this lesson, and I hope that you will find it very beneficial. But I want us to consider as the type this afternoon the ark and the flood during Noah. And then we will see the anti-type, the connection that is made to baptism and the church. And so I felt that an appropriate title for this lesson, when it's all said and done, and hopefully it'll be a good reminder, is Get in the Boat. I want us to think about it as I was thinking about this lesson, and when I thought about Noah, for some strange reason, what came to mind was when I was much younger, and maybe most of you all remember this, there was occasionally what comes on the radio was there was a test for the emergency broadcast system. And there would be this, including this long tone, which was not the most pleasant of noise. And very much, at least for me, I would disregard what was being said. How about those sirens that go off on the month as a test that is usually warnings for potential weather? That's what they're mainly used for. Normally, I would disregard those. I don't know about you. How about the, if you can remember, the various drills that we had to do when we were in school? The fire drills, the earthquake drills, the tornado drills. I still do not give them their due attention that they should have been given. Nowadays, we have what is an emergency alert system and provides warnings of usually hazardous weather or conditions that could be other than weather related. Are we more likely to give attention to those messages? Again, this made me think of Noah. At the time that he enters the picture, the situation was very dire among the earth. And so let us turn to Genesis, and we're going to read a portion of it. And if you think about it, these things, these illustrations that I just mentioned, hopefully you'll see the connection of, once we get further along the lesson, you say, ah, now I understand what he meant by when he mentioned the emergency broadcast system and those various tests. But let's look at Genesis chapter 6. We'll read a rather lengthy passage of it, verses 5 through 22, to lay a foundation of what's going on. Hopefully we'll get a better appreciation. I know that most of us probably know exactly what happened during that time. But beginning in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top. And set the door of the ark in the deck on the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life. From under the earth, everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, You shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible. Gather for yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. It would have been difficult to even fathom, at least for me, or I'm sure anyone could comprehend something they knew nothing about. I mean, think about it. What is rain? If you were during that time, what are you talking about? Rain, a flood. What do you mean by that? You can imagine Noah thinking to himself, maybe initially, how am I going to build such a structure? After hearing from God, you can imagine him possibly thinking, what is my family going to think about this? How are my neighbors, the ones around me, how will they think? How will they see me? Those are just probably potentially just a few thoughts that maybe ran through Noah's mind. But Hebrews 11, chapter 11, 7 tells us, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Just wanted to give you kind of an idea of what of the size of the ark. Again, this is ours rendering in comparison to the Titanic. You see that Noah's ark would have been, not quite, just a little bit more than half of the size of the Titanic. And you see a plane, even with that, it would still not be as long as the Titanic. But you just kind of get as an indication of the length in comparison of what a more modern ship would look like. And here's just another artist's rendering of how the actual boat might have been structured, of the three decks. Just to kind of give you an instance, you had the three decks that mentioned that we just read, where we'd have the animals, the various food, the individuals, I mean the family staying. So just wanted to kind of give you an idea. And there was obviously plenty of space. And I read somewhere potentially that there, it could have fit, estimated, 70,000 plus animals. So it was very, very, very massive, as you could see. But God, of course, provided the necessary space. So I want us to dig a little bit deeper and just think about not only this ark, but what else Noah had to do. A very important fact that Noah had to do, or was part of what he was to do, was proclaim of this event that was going to occur. As 2 Peter 2:5 tells us, he was a preacher of righteousness. He gave warning of this impending event, as we are supposed to be telling others of the gospel message. He was a great example for us in that. But like the building of the ark, the destruction of mankind did not come overnight. The verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6 alludes to a period of 120 years that God gave. So the people were without excuse. They were given ample enough time to hear the warnings that Noah gave of this impending flood, this impending destruction of all living things upon the earth. But let's consider for a moment to our opening illustration. There are times that we are giving warnings of an alert system. meteorologists tell us various things, and what? Nothing happens. We hear what they say, and nothing happens. So we can imagine that the people in the days of Noah, prior to the flood, they are telling them, or Noah's telling them over and over again, hey, you better make things right. I'm just going to imagine, because he's talking and preaching about righteousness, better turn from your wicked ways. And I can't imagine that you better come with me. And I'm inviting you on this ship. God wants you to be part on this ship. But day after day, they say, Noah, you must be crazy. There is nothing happening. I can imagine him being over and over mocked, and even probably a point to them being belligerent with him. Because you're telling us day in and day out, this flood is coming, and day in and day out, year after year, nothing is happening. And here you're building this structure, and you're loco, you're crazy, to use some of the vernacular. It would have been difficult to believe one's man's message of impending doom. But just if you can think about it, how massive that structure would have been. I showed it to you. It was in what the scripture tells us, and translating into our measurements, we're roughly looking at a structure that would have been 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, which would have been comparable, as I did a little bit of research, to a modern-day oil tanker. And nothing was supposedly built that was bigger until the 19th century, believe it or not. And this would have obviously drawn a crowd, no doubt, this massive structure. And again, it would just reinforce probably the amount of ridicule that would have been drawn to Noah during that time. But as this construction was taking place, as 1 Peter 3:20 explains, the Lord remained patient until the ark was completed, which gave time for people to repent. And when that time was up, the floods came, and the time for the availability for them to repent was over. And another amazing thing that we see during this event is what was mentioned in verse 20 of chapter 6. I don't know how often that we actually think about this, is that by the power of God, the animals came to Noah. And that would have been another amazing thing. Another amazing thing to witness. And it amazes me that everybody else among the earth said, no, I'm not going to believe in what Noah. Even though they're seeing these things, and you got to wonder, even for a moment, would they be thinking, there might be something to what Noah is saying. But as we see, that everyone else was corrupt at that time. So let us remember that while all this was going on, and even though he was said no over and over and over, what was Noah doing? He, above all, he kept preaching. He kept on working and building the ark. The animals gathered, which can be so easily overlooked, that I can only imagine, as just thinking about myself, it might have been easy just to throw my hands up and say, Lord, or just maybe not even said that, I just can't do this. This is not worth it. And this is not for me. And also think about it, what if he had use something other than gopher wood, then the boat would not have protected them from the flood. Because what I'm getting at, he had to obey the instructions of the Lord. If he had failed, he wouldn't have been saved. Read with me from chapter 7 of Genesis. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. Verse 1 says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time.'" Skipping down to verse 4. "For after 7 more days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And I will blot out from the face of the land everything, every living thing that I have made." I don't know, because I can easily skip over something, but in verse 4 it says, for 7 more days. So he's in the ark for 7 days waiting on this rain. I don't know about you, that might be a little bit difficult. Just staying there, waiting, anticipating, and nothing has happened. 7 more days. That took a great amount of faith and trust in what God was saying. Again, remember, Noah and his family had waited years, endured undoubtedly intense scrutiny, ridicule from everyone, no doubt. And we don't have the knowledge about what his family may have thought. That would have been interesting, but it's not important. Otherwise, it would have been put in the scripture. But it is something at least consider. Like, what would his family have considered? But they did trust enough and had the faith in the Lord enough to enter in to the ark and follow Noah's leading. So an important point to take away from this is that Noah was saved undoubtedly by God's grace. But in like manner, all that perished by the flood, they were offered grace and mercy each day. For them, they had the opportunity to choose. They were given the opportunity up until the rain came. Just like us, each individual has the opportunity to respond to the Word of God. But many disregard it. You can say that Noah's message fell on deaf ears. Just like, unfortunately, many today, the message of the gospel falls on deaf ears. But I like what this one individual, his name is Virgil Hale, had to say about Noah and his salvation. "We could say that God saved him because he did. We could say that the ark saved him because it did. We could say that his faith and obedience saved him because they did. And finally, the Apostle Peter says that he was saved by water, as 1 Peter 3 verses 20 and 21. Now, let us look more at the actual ark and water, and connecting it more as we move forward and thinking about baptism, church. As we know that Noah and his family were delivered from the world of sin by water and through the ark. Every day, Noah and his loved ones had the choice between obeying God or falling after the wicked ways of the world. Just thinking about it for just a moment, thinking about as we did just a little bit ago, thinking about the circumstances that were at the time. I'm no carpenter or engineer, but That must have been backbreaking work. And still, Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him, as Genesis 7:5 tells us. He followed the very directions that were given to him by God in order to ensure his salvation. And you got to think that the seven others did the same. But that just shows for us that each individual was responsible for their own personal salvation. God offered it to each individual, but that choice had each person must decide. They must keep in mind that it is something that they have to do. They have to continue to work for the Lord. They have to trust in His Word. And they have to, in one essence, get in the boat. Get in the church. Stay in the boat. Stay in the church. Let's turn over to just one more chapter over to Genesis chapter 8. Beginning in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 8, which reads, "Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month of the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. In the second month of the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, 'Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth.' So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by their families from the ark." I looked up and it says it was estimated that they were on the ark for about a year or a little bit more. And the ark and the water had safely delivered them by God's grace and by their choice to obey Him. Additional connections that we can make with water and baptism and the church with the flood and the ark. Earlier I had mentioned and referenced 1 Peter 3:20, which says that eight persons, Noah and his seven family members, were brought safely through the water. Verse 21 reads, corresponding to that, baptism. Now, I think we need to emphasize the next word, now saves you. Not the removal of dirt and from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the only way we have the ability to call out to God or make an appeal to have our sins removed and washed away, as Acts 22 tells us. Turn with me to the book of Romans in the 6th chapter. Romans chapter 6. Begin reading in verse 3. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we can no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. So we can see there is no other way to become part of the Lord's body. There is no way to become part of the Lord's church. The church, other than submitting to his will, which includes immersion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 reads, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So one thing we must remember as what could have happened to Noah and what could happen to any believer or anyone that chooses not to believe. We must never jump ship. We hopefully that those that we speak to won't refuse to come aboard. Because at any time, anyone who has obeyed the gospel can decide to say, well, this Christian life is not for me. I've had enough. 1 Timothy 4 confirms this among many other passages. So it's so important to have us at as part of our arsenal, these scripture passages, so we can be aware of these things, so we can share this truth with other individuals. Likewise, anyone who refuses to accept the good news of Christ, who refuses to come aboard, well, actually, let us look at 2 Peter. I think this will go well. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. "Know this, first of all, that in the last days," days that we are in now, the church age, "mockers will come with their mocking, falling after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" So it's very similar to what I'm sure Noah experienced. He'd be preaching day in, day out, month out, year in, year out. And they could be saying, everything's as it was. So if both instances, if anyone decides to jump ship or refuse to come aboard, people are choosing to commit spiritual suicide because they have chosen to drown themselves along with the world. So we must remember today we have only one way to be saved, as was the saying in the day of Noah. There's only one way to enter into the church or the door of the ark. There is only one family that survived the waters of the flood. And there is only one family that is going to be ultimately saved and be granted eternal life. Anyone that says no to baptism says no to being part of Christ's family. They actually say yes to the world, as did everyone else did in Noah's time. They said yes to the world at that period of time. Like Noah, we need to be able to warn others of sin and not follow after the ways of this world. Like Noah, which I would have had to believe, and he did his best, I would believe, to implore, to invite anyone and everyone to come aboard, to get into the ark. May we be able to do such, because hopefully we desire each and every person to be a part of God's family, because that is what we are commanded to do. We are commanded to go about and talk about what God's Word tells us. I don't know about you, but if I knew that personal destruction was heading my way, I would want to know. And hopefully I would be smart enough to accept that invitation. But we must remember that many will decline that invitation. But hopefully we won't be discouraged. But messages like this hopefully will encourage us to stick with it. Let us not jump ship. As I mentioned, people surely scoffed at Noah at proclaiming news of a pending force of nature, a worldwide flood, and for building a boat. But we must admit that I mentioned that he did offer a message of hope. And that could not be underscored. As I mentioned, most people today kick against the teaching of the gospel, and especially the whole notion that baptism now saves us, as Peter wrote. But let us never forget, as Noah and his family faithfully obeyed the Lord by taking the necessary steps to ensure their own salvation, each of us must do the same, which means that we need to continually be obedient. Not just, okay, I confess, I believe, I repent, I've gotten myself wet in baptism, but no, it's a day in, day out, and sometimes you need to break it down even farther. So say that we have to break it down even farther into each moment, and that could be each minute. But let us remember that Noah did not earn his salvation from the sinful world, nor do we. Everyone has the choice and must make the choice of whether to follow the commandments or to decide to stand with the world. Those are the only two choices. You can stand and choose to be on the side of the Lord, or you can choose and stand with the side of the world and sin. And unfortunately, those that choose to decide to stand with the world will be in for a rude awakening in one day. And that one day is coming fast. So don't let that be the case with you. If you haven't already, leave the world behind and find salvation and eternal protection in the arms of the Lord. I hope that this lesson has been beneficial. I know that there were many practical, hopefully, applications that were made, and just reinforcing what things that we may already know. But more importantly, hopefully this will encourage us to press on to our goal of not just getting to the finish line ourselves, but inviting and bringing as many people along with us as possible. Thank you again for allowing me to speak to you all this afternoon. God bless you all as always. And if there is any need that you may have at this time, please make it known now as we stand together and sing.